On today's episode, we're still prepping for CD. Max fishhooks his eye.
We got the noisiest guest you've ever seen. Plus, we have no clue how to end an episode.
Just suck it up, Nancy. Oh, not Nancy. Oh. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mike and Max Off-Road Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Austin.
And I'm Max Kraus, and we're taking you from the garage to the trail.
And today we have a special guest, the full-size guy, awe-inspiring, Matthias, my grandson.
Oh. So. And I think I saw he's driving that Dodge, right, on tons and like 54-inch tires.
Yeah. Poor thing's beat to crap.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
That's barely even has a frame or a body left. It's just falling off the frame.
Huh? How's the T-case doing?
I'm sure it's falling out.
Nice.
You probably broke it. You broke it in the snow, right? Didn't you break in the snow? You broke an axle? Wasn't that you? That was crazy, huh? Anyway.
Nice.
No one's going to know. But if you listen to High Sierra 4x4 back in the day, you would know what we're talking about.
So I have a crazy story to tell you.
Yeah, dude. Go for it.
I already told you. I already gave you the inside scoop a little bit. Huh?
Right. We're gonna have a little side noise.
I've been working in the garage a ton. You know, you got your CD prep. You know, I got my own prep of like a bunch of stuff to fix on the trail. And I had this stuff in my eye. I prepped. I'm ready.
Yeah, I got to see this, dude.
I had this in my hand, right? And the glasses. And I probably
what
was
glasses? Safety glasses.
Safety glasses. I went to put on my safety glasses with this hand holding this light with this hook, dude. You know? And then I went you know, like
what the hell, dude?
And then I didn't know what the hell. So I was like this. I didn't know what was going on.
I can't believe you left it in there.
I didn't.
I thought it was stuck up under your eyeball.
Yeah, but I didn't leave it.
I know, but you did. You didn't yank it right out.
This probably all happened in like 10 to 15 seconds,
oh
you know?
Oh, my God, dude.
So I was like leaning against the truck outside, and I'm like, I'm so screwed. I don't know what to do. I was just going to lay down and cry or like smoke signal a friend, you know? And I was like,
and you're here alone, right?
Yeah, I was alone.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, I don't know, dude. I don't know. And I must have just pulled it in the right direction and it came out, you know? And I was like, oh my God. My vision was all blurry, you know? And I was like, oh my God, can I see? You know, like, is my eyeball gone? Like, and I was like, oh, it's super blurry, but I can see, you know? And I was like, damn.
Dude, that is crazy.
I got to finish grinding out that weld, you know? So I got back to work.
Did you get safety glasses on?
Yeah, I put them on. Yeah, so I didn't stick the safety glasses in my eye.
No, that hook.
I stuck this insanely sharp. Feel this, the edge.
How you're not dead. How you didn't scratch your eyeball.
How am I not dead?
Even just scratch your eyeball, dude.
But it definitely hooked the eyelid and was like fish hooked on my eye. And it hurt like that day and that night. But today it's all right.
Man, when you were explaining it to me, that's not what I pictured. No, I have one of those too, man. And I was like, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, big hook. Dude, this thing. The hook of death.
That is violent. Dude, that's like
bad.
When I was building the bug, the Volkswagen bug, I sat there with the speedo, the speedometer, and I took brake cleaner like this, right in my right to it. It's about a half an inch from my face. Straight in, that shit ricocheted right into my eye.
Yep.
And I did the same thing, dude. It was the most insane pain.
Yep.
I had to clench every muscle as tight as you can get. I dropped to my knees and I was like, ah! And then I was like, all right, we got to call CDC because I just fucking dumped into my eyeball. Yep. Man. But, or the time.
Oh, here's the truck.
Oh, yeah. Oh. So we have this, oh, it's Wonder Woman.
Wonder Man.
No.
No. Okay.
We're going to have to throw this one away. That's going to come back out when I'm super famous, like 10 years from now. Some dickhead's going to bring that out.
The cancel culture is going to get you.
Yeah.
Dude, someone's going to walk around
this hallway.
There's a hallway over here for everyone that doesn't know.
To the left.
And the cancel culture guy is going to walk out and cancel you. Yeah. Not me.
I won't be able to host the Oscars.
Damn.
Because of that joke. But that's right.
Nice.
Because you're going to be tough as nails.
What did we learn? Safety third. Safety third. You know, don't be so safe, you know. But luckily, I have two eyes. I can see. And I had minimal bloody tears, you know, so it was all right.
That's good. That's actually a blessing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, seriously, somehow how you got off on that is unbelievable.
Oh, I got off on it.
Well, not, you know, that's what the hell, dude? It's
my bad.
So the noise you guys hear in the background is he's playing with letters A and B.
Oh, that's right, because this is a podcast. Not everybody can see the guest.
This kid is 2 years old, but he's awesome. He's going to Man. He's awesome. Anyway, and he loves trucks. He's obsessed with Gravedigger.
And he growls.
Hey, bud, can you say Gravedigger? Say Gravedigger. He growls because he's raised by dogs. You raised by Oma's wolf? Huh? We call Grandma Oma.
I'm just going to take that as a yes.
Yeah. He growled back. Anyways, the dude, like some of those things you got to think, man, like the intervention that happens, you know what I mean? How your eyeball's not sitting on that hook right now.
Yeah.
The crazy. Remember my metal lathe? Do you remember my okay.
The one you sold.
Yeah. So I was trying to build that tool and I was so tired at night, the pool tool, and I was so crazy tired, but I had to get it done and I was knocking it out. This is like 12:30 midnight, something like that. I literally it was a lot of chalk it up with the chuck, right? Chalk the key up. So I slid this big piece of aluminum into the lathe, right?
Yeah.
Then I chalked it up with that big honking T key. It's a big key, like 6 inches long, the handle. So you chalk it down with that, pull that out, turn it on, lathe would spin, and make it would cut.
And fast.
Right, really fast. And then
so it's not balanced. It could be like a club.
You know? So exactly what was happening was it was out of balance. I couldn't get a face. I couldn't get a flat. I couldn't get it to spin straight. So it's just readjusting. So I did that like 10 times in a row. Loosen it up, slide it out, re-tighten it, turn it on. Loosen it up, back and forth. You know what I mean? Same exact thing. The last one. So I have this thing within, I don't know, maybe a half an inch of the cutting tool, right? This is where I need it to be. And I'm trying to face this thing. I don't know. I'm not a machinist. I just make it work. You know what I mean? So I don't know the terminology.
I mean, I use a belt sander to machine screws down. My belt sander bounces. But go ahead.
So back to this death lathe, right? I was so tired. I put the material in, chalked it up.
Yeah.
Didn't take the chuck out, reached over and turned the damn thing on, and it sucked my thumb into the hole and around. And it went, huh, and I leaned over and pulled it off, and my hand was caught in between the cutoff tool the quick release and the chuck, which is a 6-inch chuck.
So it could have just mangled your muscles, skin, and bone. And
I didn't feel anything, and I thought, I got no thumb. I swear to you, I thought shock had taken over, and I swear there's no way my thumb survived that. So I didn't look, and I pulled my thumb out, and I had it. I grabbed my other hand.
Did you close your eyes?
No. I must have because I didn't see my thumb.
Yeah.
I pull it out. I grab my other hand like this. So I have one hand with my thumb tucked into the fist.
Yeah.
My other hand's over the top of it. And I look through the fingers and blood starts pouring out of the fingers.
No.
And I'm like, I know it's off, right? I know there's no thumb there when I go to look. I run over to the door, to the garage door, and start kicking it. My wife comes out. She's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I think I lost my thumb. And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? Because this is literally,
this is serious.
It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And she's like, does it hurt? And I go, I don't feel any pain, man.
Yeah.
And she's like, dude. And there was blood coming out.
Yeah.
So she's like, you have to show me. And I'm like, I can't show you. Anyway, after about 30 seconds of debate, I open it up and it's a little tiny cut.
Dude, but the shock. Your mind is racing.
I thought for sure it was gone. If you saw where it came out of, you would have thought, how in the world did your thumb physically fit in that little bitty tiny slot? And everything was sharp. And the only thing kind of good is cutting with aluminum. It's sort of at a slower rotation, but it's still moving.
I don't
know what the RPMs are, but
fast enough.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was like, so I had a whiteboard and I walked back out. No more working for that night. It literally took a Band-Aid, dude. A little Band-Aid to fix it. I go back out in a big old board and I wrote on the board, no working when you're tired.
Yeah.
Period.
Smart.
And then I got rid of it. So, but
crazy.
Yeah, that was one of those moments where I thought,
dude,
this is it. I'm losing it. Thumb is over. Okay, sorry.
Damn.
Sorry for the side tangent, crazy. Folks. Safety third.
Wheeling.
Yeah, let's get into wheeling.
We have an interjection.
Right.
Next topic.
I think he said next topic.
Something about YouTube and cartoons.
That's right. Dude, he was watching Tom and Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
We put like old school Tom and Jerry from when I was a kid.
Isn't that the only kind?
No, I think there's a new crappy one out.
Oh.
I know, right? Anyway, Tom's the cat, right? Yeah. Tom is standing on top of the computer, on top of the piano, kicking the keys with his feet. And he was standing on top of the piano, kicking the keys with his feet. And I was
didn't you pay someone to tune it and everything?
Yeah, but it's all right. I mean, it's a beast. So, It was pretty funny, though. And I was like, tell me that TV doesn't influence you.
Yeah, big time. Right.
So back to the, let's get on to wheeling. This is an off-road wheeling podcast.
Are we about to get into our garage talk?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did they say? You remember Tyler G-talk. And Jimmy? Nah. Gangster talk?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think they said garage talk or this, garage.
I want to be named
talk.
Creeper.
Uh-huh. Creeper.
Break out my sunglasses.
Yeah.
So, Creeper.
Orale.
I was on my Creeper. Creeper was on the Creeper. And I was creeping.
Anyways.
Okay.
So, we went back to that Harquahala Mountain area out way west of the West Valley. You know, it's like another hour. Like, we live in the West Valley, and it's an hour west of us.
It's like East LA.
Close.
Right.
Close.
Look on a map, folks.
Yeah, look on a map.
We're in Arizona.
The trail itself that goes to the mountaintop is actually on Trails Off Road. So if just download it, you know, and don't text me 100 times about it.
Hey, I'm curious.
Richard.
I haven't heard back, dude.
I don't know if he made it home.
Oh, shoot.
I actually meant to text him and be like, hey, how was the trail? Because I never heard back, you know?
Oh, that's crazy. Hey, I was wondering, because I never heard of that trail till you brought it up.
Uh-huh.
And since you brought it up, there's been like four big groups gone up there.
Uh-huh. I think it's just a popular trail.
What's wrong?
Or I think it's like a mildly popular trail. And now that the weather's good, we're probably going to see a lot of people trying to go up there. Because it's technically fairly moderate. Dude, there's just a 20-minute stretch that's crazy steep, man, and like loose.
Yeah. You shouldn't have posted those pictures of that waterfall, man.
No, it's all right.
That made a lot of people want to go.
Good.
I want
to
go.
It's on a marked trail. Like the trail guy. Well, yeah. The trail to the mountaintop is a marked actual trail in whatever area trails are marked in.
Yep.
And that's the wash that goes parallel to that trail. So that should be a fully legitimate wash to wheel.
Nice.
So I don't care if people go there. And it's so far out of the way. Like,
don't. Yeah.
No, do. Out there. Whatever.
Cool, man.
But, dude, it was cool. I think even the wash itself, you would really enjoy. Because it's just like, it's pretty much endless, like kind of small, medium to large boulders. Just like, imagine like a little roller coaster ride, you know, like the bunny slopes. Like small boulders, big boulders, small boulders, big boulders. It just keeps going like that. And we did about 3 miles out of the 6 that you can do before the road goes up the mountain.
So. Oh, okay. So do you think, were you able to pop out or did you have to backtrack?
Nope. We popped out.
Nice.
But that waterfall was key to popping out.
You had to make it?
Well, there's a bypass. If you don't mind going under a tree, you know, through some shrubs.
Need a chainsaw.
A dead tree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just need a stick and beat the dead limbs off that tree. Machete.
Right.
But, dude, it was cool. It's because I didn't go up the waterfall. I went around it. You just backtrack like 50, 60 feet. But even the bypass is a challenging boulder field of obstacles, you know?
Yeah, so Chris made it.
Mm-hmm. By himself, unassisted.
Steve make it or did he get winched up or did he back off?
He used a winch because he slid off of the line.
Okay.
And, you know, he's just with 38s versus 40s, it made a difference. Really? You know, so. Mm-hmm. But you got a shorter wheelbase.
Yeah.
And it's a tall obstacle.
So it's steep.
It's steep. Oh, yeah.
Dude, the way those guys...
Like, Chris was three-wheeling almost straight up and down.
I saw him floating it.
But that was the wrong line on top of it. You know?
So there's no way I'm making that.
Yeah. We could hook a winch up, worst case. I think you could make it. And so, like, imagine the waterfall is straight, right? There is a really hard... passenger side obstacle line, but the turn is so hard once you get into it that the long four-door JK wheelbase couldn't do it. The short wheelbase has a better turning radius and you might have a way better chance at making that, plus a shorter wheelbase has less of a breakover issue.
Yeah,
so you have a lot of things going for you that you might be able to do that obstacle if you don't want to do the waterfall.
Nice. So, well, I'm definitely excited to go look at it.
And there's just good boulder fields. There's everything. And I think next time what we're going to do is just take the actual trail 3 miles in, hop into the wash, and do the second 3 miles.
The better, harder stuff?
Well, we don't, we didn't make it that far.
Oh, that's right. You're going past.
So we cut out early for a reason, because I found out that I had my copper line for the air locker was actually rubbing the housing of the locker itself, probably for a very long time. And it was like finally machined down like a 1-inch area, and it was just blowing all the air into the oil. Mm. Like I could hear it gargling and dumping out oil out of my seals and stuff.
That's crazy that the last time, like, it didn't break before.
Just a week ago. 1 week before that, I was wheeling at Table Mesa. Both lockers worked. Yeah. As far as I know, they worked. I mean, well, I wonder if something
changed, though.
Yeah, I think it just wore through finally.
You don't think it spun like we talked about?
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Interesting.
But I got the spare parts on the way.
Nice.
They should actually be here tomorrow. Yeah. And White Chris said he's going to come over and help me because he wants to see how it works.
And that's on the front? Yeah.
Front locker, yeah. But I ordered two. They're identical, since I have Dana 60s front and rear.
Oh, yeah.
It's identical pieces, and I got two. And
it'd be great to have a spare. Yeah.
And I think I'm going to wrap one in foam and like keep it somewhere safe in the Jeep.
Nice.
Like you said, you know, what if we're in like Sandy Beach, Sandy Beach.
It's something you can't get out without.
I mean, it would be a problem.
Yeah, like if you could get out, all right, we'll wait till we get back to a nice clean garage to fix it.
Yeah.
But if you can't,
And that's why we decided to come out of the wash early. You know, we're like, I mean, I wanted to go on, but I think it was already like 2 o'clock by the time we got there. Yeah. We did a nice lunch in the shade. Dude, it was a cool day.
So did you take it apart on the trail and found out there?
I got on that waterfall super high because the pinion would be uphill.
Yep.
And I was trying to limit how much oil would come out. And we caught all the oil in a gallon Ziploc. Or no, it was actually a trash bag. Oh. So we doubled some trash bags, caught all the oil. And at this point, White Chris had been trying to make that waterfall for like at least 20 minutes. So it was nice and cooled off.
Okay.
I pulled it up on the waterfall because I thought the copper line had just slipped out of the fitting that breaches the cast iron.
Yep.
Or cast iron pumpkin. And I was just going to like take the copper line, slip it back through, adjust the O-ring, compress it all back together. And I thought it would be a quick fix, you know, but it wasn't.
Hmm.
Then I was bummed I took it apart. For no reason.
Did you cut a hole in the baggies to fill it back up?
No, we had new fluid.
Oh, okay.
Which I owe Steve some fluid.
And then you just took the baggie and put it back in the empty bottles?
Nope, I just put it in my Jeep.
Really? A baggie, sandwich baggie held it, huh?
It was trash bags.
Oh, trash bags.
Trash bags.
Gotcha.
They were big white trash bags. We doubled them up, tied them both in a knot, and I just set it on the passenger side floor.
Nice.
And when I got home, I disposed of it. I did.
No air quotes.
I disposed of it.
You put it in a 5-gallon bucket to take it to AutoZone.
Yeah. I have two here at the house.
Right. Perfect.
For all my fluids.
Dude, that's awesome. I did get my... Oh, are you?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I was just thinking of issues and stuff. So I yanked out my front axles and put in those long fill joints, you know. I painted them all up, the axles and all that. I used a light gray so that...
They're long filled? Is that what they're called?
They're called, yeah.
Is CMT the brand?
No, Longfield is the brand made by Trail Gear, but it's 300M, same as the CMT.
Oh, they're not. Okay. I think
a different name brand.
I got
but
it.
Nice. I think the CMT, I don't know what these things weren't cheap. They were on sale at $170. You know what I mean? A piece. And it's like,
oh, that is cheap. The ones I was looking at were like $800.
Oh, hell.
But that might be for a Dana 60, too.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way I'm wasting that on that 44, you know. I even questioned wasting these on there. It was really tough.
It's not a waste.
To take the good U-joints out.
Yeah.
I tried to save them, which is kind of stupid.
No, throw them in the bag, because there's tons of Dana 44s out there.
That's what I thought. It'd be like two extra joints for free, you know. But what, I lost some of the needles on one. So one I was able to save, the other one wasn't. We just stare at him waiting for him to talk. Do you talk? Or you just growl? Say something.
Make a fart sound.
Right. Say, Papa. What a punk, dude.
What an intellectual.
Right.
He keeps it to himself.
He doesn't speak.
He's probably doing math equations in his head.
No, that's the other one. Alex. Oh. Alex is the brainchild. This one is the physical beast.
Oh, okay.
I never seen a kid with this kid's ability. The kid's two. For you folks out there in podcast land only, this guy's two.
the one that doesn't speak, but is making a lot of clunks.
Yeah, he's huge, though.
What else are you doing before CD? Or is the Jeep almost ready?
Yeah, I would have had it back together already if I didn't paint him. But I decided to paint him so that I could see cracks easier.
Yeah.
So it's a grease throw. Literally, I timed it. I had them both sides out in like 15 minutes, dude.
That's not bad at all.
I say I literally timed it. I started the clock and forgot to turn it off, but it was like 15 minutes.
So it's like 7 hours later you turn it off. No. When you get home, you'll turn the clock off?
Yeah, maybe.
What do I have left to do? Dude, I have a list and a half. Dude, my whole Jeep is tore apart in the garage right now.
Really?
There's like control arms out. Three shocks are out of the Jeep. I got, dude, the whole steering is off.
Really?
Everything, like I got a bunch of new Himes for steering because I had slop in the Himes, you know? Like every time I leave my driveway, you know how you have that nice dip out of the driveway? My whole front end does like this like. So.
Right.
I've been just chasing every issue that I can
stopping
find.
All the clunks and
yep.
clinks. And
yep. Yep.
Dude, what's crazy is I tore apart mine, got the steering all put in and fixed and working beautifully. I haven't got it actually wedged in a rock yet,
yeah.
But it hasn't squealed since. But I have heard the pump hit. Boom, I heard you like when you crank it all the way hard.
Oh, because the wheels do like a.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And then I was able to lock it up, stand on the brakes in the garage and turn it, and it would lift the Jeep.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's not squealing. So, like, I think I'm going to be okay.
Nice.
But so I drive it over here, showed you, then took it back home. It was sitting there pretty and perfect, and then I took it apart again.
Yeah,
it's like,
of course.
Holy crap, dude. It's, well, that's really hard for my brain, dude. Do you know what I mean? Like, it worked. It worked fine, and I took it apart.
But it didn't work fine. The steering.
No, well, the steering, yeah. I mean, it worked if I didn't.
Oh, but the axle shafts.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but doing this collateral damage trail, CD, I think you know that's the weak link.
Yeah.
So even though they work fine, like what if they shred the ears on your axle shafts
and
that are expensive?
The brand new
they're expensive as crap.
Yeah.
And then they're technically not fine, you know? I mean,
well,
like they're fine for street driving.
I'll tell you what, yeah, right?
I mean, are you a mall crawler?
I know, I can't.
So,
but I'll tell you what, that 44 now is, it's a heavy duty 44. It's mm-hmm. built to the hilt. That, like, the only thing it doesn't have left is a truss. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and the
no truss.
But to hell with that. So, hey, if you folks got like a Blazer or something like that, or a little half ton Chevy truck and want a really good front axle, I'll mm-hmm. be selling that punk anytime you're ready.
Nice. And it's what? It's still on leaf springs.
Yeah, front.
It's a full width Dana 44 yep. HD.
Yep. Already has crossover high 456 with an ARB.
Nice.
Brand new chromoly factory 10 shafts. Brand
well,
new.
Badass U joints.
Yeah, badass U joints now. Has the 8 lug on it. 3/4 ton brakes. What else does it have? A Ram. Assist.
That's right. Or you give. Oh, you'd have to get yeah. the Ram has to go with it.
Oh,
well, it doesn't have to.
For that.
But
yeah.
But your 60 steering. Will need an 8-inch Ram, not a 6-inch Ram.
Yeah, I think. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. whatever it is, has a crossover high steer arms and all that other good stuff.
Nice.
It's dope.
Are you gonna throw a price out?
I have it up there for $2,000. But hey, for the Mike and Max podcast special,
$19.99.
Yeah,
plus tax and shipping.
Just
and
hit
handling.
Us up. I'll hook you up if you're local.
Nice.
Maybe for
I don't.
Dude,
I know very few people who drive Chevy stuff. Surprisingly,
well, there's a lot. There's tons of Chevy Blazer yeah. pages, and
I just don't know them.
I'm just. It's yeah. It's not in the Jeep market. This actual.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Except, but there's definitely a market for it. So,
nice.
I mean, it'd be perfect. Let's say you had like a 3/4 ton or a half ton Chevy with like a camper or something on it, or 35s on it. This
yeah.
axle is literally perfect for.
Oh, me. It's probably. Almost indestructible for 35s.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. It's
nice.
Awesome.
And
yeah,
it's all
it never
new.
Had an issue.
Everything's
really.
New in it.
Yeah.
Well, newer. Like, it's at least a quality product that doesn't matter if it's a couple years old. You know, like an ARB locker.
Right.
Probably
maybe
lot,
if we get a lot more followers, we'll raffle that punk off.
Oh, because you could still kind of make your money back.
Yeah. We'll just decide how much I need.
What if five people buy a raffle ticket in the time frame?
No time frame. We just do it until all the raffles sold.
10 years later.
Well,
it's the axles for sale. I don't know why I made that voice. That wasn't
right.
even an old man voice.
All right. So if you get your parts back and your Jeep back together by Friday, we're going to go back out to Harquahala.
Yeah. Harquahala.
Harquahala and try that waterfall and try some more stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
And go camping at the top.
Cool.
That's the key.
All right. Cool, man. So CD prep still full swing.
Yeah.
Both of us tore apart. There's that. That'd be more like a test run. If I make it to that, then I'm good to go. I hope to just come home, park it, and it's
exactly.
ready to go.
Then so, you'll know it's ready to go.
Yeah. Then I can actually start working on the trailer to get it worthy, and then I can take the windshield
most
off.
Most likely, I'll probably not be ready until Saturday. So we might have to do like a Saturday to Sunday instead of a Friday to Saturday.
Okay. Well, if we leave early, Saturday is fine.
You know, I wrote camping trip on the notes, but it wasn't what we just talked about. You know, I'm really thinking about doing the Mud Springs camping trip soon.
Oh, yeah. After CD, huh?
But I want to do like the Flagstaff, Dead to a Wash trip. I want to do Mud Springs. I want to do the Harquahala. These are all like overnight trips, you know. Yeah. I mean, with tons of good wheeling.
You making it louder, bro?
Hey, let's all. Can we help? Can we help? Woo! Exciting.
It's not fun if the old people do it. Play at these.
Wow, yeah. Burn, burn. Burn. Oh, no, no, no. Don't touch it, Mike.
Oh. Did you hear him growl?
I think he's the alpha in the pack.
He thinks he's the alpha.
Yeah, and he is.
He's the alpha of the little ones.
Oh, okay. What, his brother? No, no, it's not his brother. It's his cousin. Cousin. Yeah. Cousin.
He's cool, though. It'll be really cool when he talks. Mm-hmm. He's actually really fun.
What if he just starts talking shit to you, like hardcore?
He might.
Like, what are you going to do, bro?
What do you mean? I'm going to square off.
Give
with
me
him.
A goddamn apple juice. And you're like, no, no, no. You've had several apple juices today. Yo, pops. Apple juice now or I scream.
Oh, I stood up too high and half my head is out of that picture. Oh, wow. Son of a gun. What's up, buddy? Oh,
is that a fart?
Is Max making fun of you?
No. I'm encouraging him to be a man.
Right.
Man of the house.
Heck with that, dude. Say something. Say something funny. Go on, funny boy. He's got a cool laugh. Watch.
You gonna tickle him? Are you gonna tickle him? Oh no! Oh, just a growl.
It.
Just
he's
a growl.
He's biting it. It's my turn.
Oh. Oh, the fangs are coming out.
Oh well. One day you're gonna be cool. I like it. That's all that matters.
Dude, I think we're ready, man. I think we're ready to. Well, I'm not ready. I think we're pretty much ready to tackle Collateral Damage, which is a big old group run. Then we're going to, ideally, I would really like to get up to Harquahala this weekend. But you have to have a front locker to wheel that wash successfully. Even Chris Bayer, he fell off like a bunch of stuff. Like, if you slip off, like the boulders move, they're big, they're slippery.
Oh, really?
It's awesome. It's really cool.
Dang, I got to get in there, man.
I know. Let's definitely aim for this weekend.
Okay. Yeah,
I can make it work.
I should have the Jeep back together tomorrow.
Oh, great. I got a lot to do. Dude, my whole Jeep's apart.
I'm waiting
for shock shims. I don't know if I'll actually be ready at all unless they arrive by Friday.
Just put them in there. You don't need to.
Dude, shock shims are so expensive.
That's ridiculous. Aren't they only like $3 at Fodrals a
piece? Yeah, but dude, there's 48 in a Jeep.
No.
Yeah, they're okay. Watch. There's 12 per shock, 24, 48. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
48 times 3. If you were to buy every single shim in that shock to make it totally what you want, 48 times 3.
But again, you don't need shipping. All those.
Yeah, a lot of them are reusable, but what if they're not? What if you want to valve it differently than that?
So are you trying to like, what do you have? Like, what is it?
So my front and rear shocks are actually valved differently. My rear kings were valved at like a 12 stack and a 15 stack, straightforward, you know? Okay. And I just moved some of those shims around to add that flutter. But now I'm actually going to do a lighter flutter stack. So it's going to go 10, 15, 10, 12, and 12, and 12 for the rebound, the lighter stack, you know?
Yep.
My compression stack is going to be 10, 15, 10... 15, 15, 15. So I should have my low speed should be really soft now.
Right.
But having those 15 thousand shims on top, that should actually help me in the hard hits. You know, like, so the soft shims can only bend so far until they hit those 15 thousand shims.
Right.
Which is ideally a hard hit. But that's just a theory because no one will tell me the truth.
No one knows.
Dude, I asked Mueller and Scully. But the X-Files.
Yeah, I was like, what is the X-Files?
Whatever
you and the aliens
is.
Bro.
Dude. But I'm just
keep
trying
the rubber
to,
down, bro.
I just know what I want, and then I, you know, like I knew I wanted it softer at low speed, but I wanted to keep it like if I'm cruising at 10, 15, 20 miles an hour, I know I want to be able to hit a bump and the axle just doesn't fly above the Jeep, you know? Like I knew I needed some resistance basically. So I think that's where I'm going with that.
We good?
We're good.
All right, man. So don't forget to like us on Keep It Simple Off-Road on all the Instagrams and YouTube channel.
Definitely.
Go over and subscribe to that bad boy.
Well, and we want some comments. You know, we want some reviews, comments on anything you listen to or watch us on. Like,
yeah,
leave
I just
us.
Found out today the Seven Slot Society's got a podcast.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That one's pretty cool. The guy Angel, sometimes he does it with his wife, and those are funny, dude. Like,
I'm going to have to go hunt it
She's
down.
Hardcore, dude. Like, I'd be scared. I'd be like, don't tell my secrets, babe. You know? But
Well, so then the last podcast from both Wheel and Wine and Whiskey and the Snail Trail, they were really good, yeah. man. Really good stuff on off-road, the Gaia app.
Yep.
And then what I learned so much, dude, on breakover, axle weight,
yeah,
all that stuff from the Snail Trail guys. Like, I saved that podcast. Like, that would be one I listened to several times.
So. Nice.
I don't remember the number, but it's the last one they just put
out. Yeah, it's their most recent content. Yeah.
That thing was awesome, man. So don't forget to do that. Go over and check out if you want a ham license over to My Off-Road Radio. And while you're there, pick up yourself a Morflate to inflate all four tires because they're dope. And don't forget your Mike Max Pod discount.
I got a little input on the Morflate. I'll make it quick.
Yeah, go for it.
We used it on Steve's dual ARB compressor, and it ran super smooth, twice as quick. And I think we aired up all his tires in around 5 minutes.
Dude, the next time we go out, we'll have him air up. We'll have somebody do it without it, and I'll bring him a temperature gauge, and we'll shoot the compressor at the temperature, and then do one with it on a different car, and then do it with that. We'll see what the temperature difference is. So if you have an ARB compressor and the thing's blowing up, or you have to replace it often, then go over to My Off-Road Radio and pick up the Morflate and use the Mike Max Pod for 15% off. That thing is awesome. That kit's awesome.
I like it. I use it to air down, air up. It's easy.
And we're not bullshitting just because they gave us a couple of them. But it really is a good kit. It's a good quality kit.
So I like it.
I like it too. And then listen to Wheel and Wine and Whiskey, Snail Trail Off-Road. Follow Max at Maximum_Max_Max. And go over to the YouTube channel, Reckless Wrench Garage. I love that guy. Dude, they're building some sort of drift car right now.
I've been following it.
That's what's cool about it. You know what's funny is, when he had asked, when we were doing the questions on your Instagram stories, he said, what would you wheel anything other than the Liberty?
Yeah.
Or not wheel. What would you build of it? Whatever he was actually seeing if you like build a car. Or he was looking for something completely different.
Oh, I thought they meant like another off-roading vehicle.
Yeah, and that's what I thought too until I got and I was like, oh, hey, they're building a drift car. Yeah. Which I knew they were doing because in one of his videos, they had said, we weren't, when we started it, we didn't start it just for off-road. They do all kinds of crazy junk. So cool. And their videos are getting top-notch too now. They're really cool people. I met them in Moab. They're good. They're good folks. And then what's the other one? Off-Road Garage Podcast.
Check them out.
Yeah.
Those guys are in like Michigan. They always go up into like the peninsula and all those like muddy wheeling.
Yeah.
But
I'd love to wheel the East Coast one time, man. Anything on the East side. I like the mud and trees and romping on the gas to get up the hill.
Right. So. With a V8.
Right.
I can't even be in low range or high range and get anywhere, you know?
That's pretty funny.
Cool. I like it.
Right on, man. That's it. No ladies' tips. You said you had one, but it was more of just because of that goofy ass video, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, okay. We have a ladies' tip. Are you gonna insert the video?
Yeah, of course.
Today's ladies' tip is put your hair in a tight bun when you're on top of the Eiffel Tower or someone really tall, because it could swirl and pick you up like a helicopter and take you out to where there's no safety net. Basically, I have no idea.
Right.
Terrible.
It's got to be like riding on the motorcycle too. Like if you have the top
it
off,
whips.
Side down, you got it in a ponytail, tie this thing up. You could use multiple braids. Boom,
boom, there you boom, go. Boom,
boom, boom. All the way down, like every inch if you got really long hair.
But you know, this is actually a terrible tip because I think a lot of people post the Jeep hair don't care. Have you seen that?
Right. Yeah,
and it's always the wild hair going everywhere, and that's cool. Like that's, you know, that's, well, I'll say the
so
word.
My wife has.
I'll say like attractive, you know, for a woman to say, Jeep hair don't care, and they got it's all wild, you know. Like I would think that's like enjoyable for a man to visually see.
I agree.
Yeah, without being weird.
That was still.
I'm using my words.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't that what they want?
Yeah. The video was a goof. He gave me a video of this lady's hair that starts whipping around and she flies away. And I was like, I don't know if that is a real tip.
Oh, that's not real. That didn't happen.
No.
Damn.
Come on.
Yeah, I thought everything on the internet was real.
No way, dudes. All right, cool, man. I think we're done. So, don't forget, get out of the garage and get out on the trail. Take it easy. Say bye. Matias, bye. Say bye. Growl it for me. Grr, grr.